This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All right, we're back. We promised you're going to talk a little Canes football. Manny Navarro, who covers the Canes on a daily basis for The Athletic, joins us. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. More importantly, subscribe to The Athletic and catch his terrific work. Manny, in today's world and in today's millennials and Generation Zs, we got to kind of handle them with kid gloves. And we got to be kind and courteous, and we can't be tough with them. And so I'm wondering, the tough love that they showed this week, especially the offensive line coach, I'm wondering how they will handle that because, you know, I was just talking about this earlier. We all grew up with our teachers ripping us, right? I mean, how many times did you hear in your classroom your teacher tell a kid, you'll never amount to anything? Would you do that now, you'll get fired as a teacher if you do that now, if you attack these kind of kids. We used it as motivation when they told us, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's kind of, we got angrier and we wanted to prove you wrong is what we did. We didn't cower into a corner. So how is the O-line group going to respond from the public criticism?
It's going to be an interesting storyline, Big O. I'll tell you this. If you remember correctly, go back in the time machine with me. How did the previous offensive line coaches talk about this group, right? They were always sort of saying lack of confidence, that we need to inject confidence in these guys. Now Garen Justice is in year two, and we're still talking about injecting confidence into these guys. I just think sometimes players have it and sometimes they don't. And I think, unfortunately for Miami, a lot of these guys are head cases. And so I don't know. I have no idea how tough love is going to get them anywhere. I know this. I know if Navon Donaldson wants to play in the NFL, he's got to come back with a vengeance the rest of the season and play at the best of his game. Oh. And so does DJ Scaife. And so do all these guys who have basically played a lot, but they haven't done a lot. And
I know. But talking about, you know, I'm so tired about Navon Donaldson already at this point. Yeah. Like, if I'm an NFL team, I'm like, well, wait a minute. This guy's overweight. He's lazy. He's inconsistent. Outside of that, yeah, he might be a good player. Huh? What? Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
no, it's over. It's over, Big O. I mean, in my opinion, there's no, I'm just saying the only, like, to me, that's the only motivation, right? At this point,
right. Yeah.
If nothing else has worked, it's that. It's, hey, you haven't done your job to get yourself drafted. And now you got to go out there and play out of your mind the rest of the season. That's, if that doesn't work, then it doesn't work. And these guys are just all flops. And so, look, I don't think he's going to play this week a whole lot anyway. I think Justice Oluwasun is going to be moved into the right guard spot. I think you're going to see Jared Williams see his first real action of the season at right tackle. And that's who they're going to roll with.
And I start to think about this. Oh, my God, how things have gotten even worse. Mm-hmm. Let me walk you through this, Manny. We used to go through the issue of they didn't know how to use Devin Hester. And then he goes to the NFL and becomes the greatest returner in the history of the game. Sam Shields couldn't find any playing time. And then he goes and becomes a hell of a corner, gets himself a nice big contract, had a nice little career. Greg Olsen was kind of an underachiever here at the University of Miami and then went on to the Hall of Fame because – Canton should be waiting for that dude. You know what I'm saying? He's got Canton like numbers. He can be in that category. We used to see guys come here and underachieve because the coaches weren't getting it done. Well, you and I have been talking about this over the last year or two. We're not watching nearly as many UM players go to the league. So that's how much of a drop off that there is. It's not, these guys aren't good enough for the league, and they're also failing here at the college level. So we can't necessarily blame the coaches for not developing something that they never had in a way, but we can blame the coaches for getting players that aren't good enough in the end.
Correct. Right. And to me, you know, if somebody's really talented, then you see it show on Sundays, right? Like you mentioned, Greg Olsen, Sam Shields is another great example, right? A guy who couldn't play receiver, but he turned into a guy who made a Pro Bowl as a cornerback in the NFL, a guy who played 10 years with the Packers. And so, you know, to me, I think what's happening here is, yes, the talent isn't as good. And part of the reason is we've gotten further along in the level of mediocrity. I mean, how many players have now grown up with the University of Miami? You know, the only good times they saw them is on Billy Corbin's movie. Right. I mean, that's the only if it's not for the ESPN 30 for 30, when was the last time these guys have seen a good Miami team? That one night against Notre Dame? Is that what we're going to hang our hat on for the last 20 years?
Right.
So the players aren't as good. And one thing I'll say, that I think is unfortunate. And again, I have no knock on the recruiting guys. They're doing their job. They're ranking 350 kids, either five or four star every single year. I just think in the old days, when a guy was a top 100 player, it meant something. Nowadays, so many people get caught up in the recruiting rankings, Big O. I mean, so many. And I have to educate people when I talk to them one-on-one. The more guys that are ranked four stars, okay, the fact that you got 350 of those guys now every single year, the more stories, the more subscriptions you sell, the more people buy into the hype. Oh, we got this great recruit who's coming in. He's a four. And so there's not that many good players. There just isn't. And there's this assumption that because a guy is a four star that, the coaches aren't cutting it. They're not the, no, the reality is there's only 100 or so elite players that come out every year in the country. Some years, maybe you have 120, some years you only have 80. But the point is, Miami hasn't got enough of those guys. They've gone to the Alabamas and to the Clemsons and to the Ohio States because the team's winning. And so Miami gets maybe a handful of guys every year. You could say, yeah, that guy could play in the NFL. The rest of them, no. And in years past, 15, 20 years ago, they were the Alabama and Ohio State. They were getting the 15 to 20 guys per year that could play in the NFL. And that's just not happening anymore. So I think, yes, there's a drop-off in talent that needs to be observed, and I think people need to stop paying attention to recruiting rankings and think, hey, because this guy's a four-star, you should expect him to be this good. No. If the guy's not a top 100-ranked player, I always tell people he's just another guy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Manny, how in the hell are the Canes favored by six? What are they smoking in Vegas? Because seriously, dude. Because and they're really good. I know that they build palaces over there on our money. So I completely understand that. But every once in a while, there are lines that I don't understand, and this is one of them. I mean, I hope the Canes win by 60, not by six. But right. I gotta be honest. Undersized defense, undersized linebackers. They're rushing for 300 yards a game. Underperforming team. So if you do control the ball on the ground, that's less of King out there. I fear the hell out of this game, actually, overall, because I think Miami has the kind of defense that can get pushed around. And I've watched them get pushed around by Appalachian State a little bit here. So why wouldn't I figure that the Big Ten, who has these corn-fed dudes that are huge on the line, should be able to push these guys around? I fear the hell out of this game.
Well, you should on paper. I think without question, you look at this matchup and you say, Michigan State, they've played a lot better than Miami in their first two games. Granted, not the same level of competition, but they beat Northwestern soundly on the road, a team that was in the Big Ten championship game last year, and then they crush Youngstown State like they're supposed to, 42-14. So on paper, you can say, hey, Mel Tucker's second season, they've got their act together. In all reality, breaking down both these rosters, Colton Pounty, who covers Michigan State for us over at The Athletic, he and I did sort of a back and forth this week. I really think these are two very evenly matched teams in the sense that they've got a very experienced offensive line like Miami, nine guys, I think, who have 161 combined starts. But they're just like Miami in the sense that before this season, they were pretty bad on the offensive line. And this Kenneth Walker kid, yes, he ran for 267 yards, I guess, against Northwestern in the opener. But he was at Wake Forest last year. He was the backup. So, I think, breaking them down, they got two receivers on the outside that can make explosive plays, but they don't have a tight end. Defensively, they don't have a ton of sacks, just like Miami. Their linebackers, one of them's a transfer from Tennessee. They're not great. Okay, and they got one safety back there who's probably an NFL player like Miami who has Bubba Bolden, right? So to me, I look at it and I'm like, these teams are pretty even. Miami's playing at home. It's going to be hot. I'm picking Miami to win this game by a field goal. I think it's going to be tight. I think it can go the other way just as easily, but I don't think Michigan State is decisively better or more talented than Miami. I just think they're very, very even on paper.
Why does Mike Carley keep thinking they're one play away? That's
he means from clicking and getting the offense going, right?
I get that part, but right. They're not. That's right. Not true. They're tons of series away from actually developing and getting that offense going. One play is not going to click an entire offense. You got to get several series together and start stringing it together, to put together the offense that you need, especially in college football. In football, period, because the NFL is like that too. There's less and less defense in the NFL also, dude. I mean, give me a break. The NFL is becoming, it's college football on steroids is what it is. More than ever, I never thought when I was young, I'm sure you didn't either, that college football was going to influence the NFL as much as it has. And it has, dude. That's something that's great. I mean, we grew up with the NFL influencing college football. Now it's the other way around. So I see very little of that right now, but Harley, come on, dude. This is maybe the coaches telling him, come on, guys, we're one play away from getting this thing started, and they're just going out there and repeating it.
Oh, there's no question. That's exactly what that is, and players do that all the time. Well, we've seen it for years. Miami's coaches are trying to build confidence for these guys because right now, let's face it, they just haven't been cutting it. Derek King has one touchdown pass through two games. That's not going to win you anything. That's not going to get you anywhere, even in the mediocre Coastal Division. So, to me, Mike Harley's had two drops. Xavier Streppo's had at least two drops. Will Mallory had an important drop the other day. They've regressed to where they were before the second half of last season. That's what I see. I see an offense that was playing like the first half of last season. Now, could it change? Absolutely, because we saw when De'Aaron King and Mike Harley were connecting, that this offense could score 44 points on the road at NC State. So yes, are they one play away in their minds? Maybe. I think they're where they really need to get better at, and I highlighted this in my story this week, is the intermediate passing game. Derek last year was completing over 55% of his passes between 10 and 19 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception the whole season. This year he's 7 of 16. From that range, the intermediate range. They're taking the middle of the field away. So Derek has to adjust. He has to run. He has to be the running quarterback that we saw last week against Appalachian State. And he's got to be able to hit his guys underneath who then create the play after the catch, right? That's what they need to do. And they just haven't done it yet. They dropped passes last week against App State. Michigan State's going to run the same kind of defense. They don't have Jalen Phillips or Gregory Rousseau in their front. They don't have anybody who's going to come in and sack Derek King 7 times. I just think they're going to play that same type of defense. It's going to be up to Derek to pick them apart. And if he does, and Miami wins this game, maybe by more than 6.5 points. But I don't think they're there yet. I think they're going to get going some. I just don't think they're going to be rocking and rolling. And I will say this, their offense should be better. I mean, you have Keyshawn Smith and Charleston Ramble. You have two more weapons on the outside than you had last year when you had Mark Pope and D. Wiggins dropping everything deep. Now these guys can hold on to the football. You saw it. You saw that ridiculous catch that Keyshawn Smith came up with, the twisting catch. Charleston. So that's element of this offense that they didn't have last year that can make them better, and why I thought they could average 40 points a game this year because of those two guys.
Yeah, and listen, the tight end. I think the tight end should be a stud every week for this team. You talk about the short to mid-range passing game. Well, that's the dude that should be, catching the ball and then getting some yak after that.
Yeah. And I think we'll see some of Elijah Arroyo this week. I don't think Miami coaches are messing around. I think you're going to see this kid in an H-back formation, especially with the fact that they're only down to one real healthy running back in Cam Harris. You could see a lot of Elijah Arroyo and Will Mallory in an H-back type role where they're blocking probably 70% of the time and then leaking out to catch a pass whenever, Derek has to get rid of the ball. So I think that's what you're going to see this week. And I think Arroyo, who looks very, very good, he does, this kid from Texas that they got, I think, you're going to see him make some plays this week.
Let's hope so. What's the prediction? Who do you got winning?
I picked Miami 34-31. I think if they win this game, it's going to be an offensive shootout. If the offense doesn't show up, I think they've got no chance in this. The defense isn't good enough to stop that running game and Kenneth Walker. So Kenneth Walker's going to get his, especially with cutbacks. I mean, if you go back and you break down the film of the App State game, Miami was over pursuing constantly, out of position. The counters were working. So I think they're going to give up a few rushing touchdowns in this game. And their quarterback, Michigan State's quarterback, isn't bad. He's a good player, and he's got two guys on the outside. you know, Miami's had enough breakdowns in the secondary to convince me they're going to give up points. So I think Miami somehow finds a way with De'Aaron King and probably their kicker, who's very good, that Andy Borgalis kid, to win this game 34-31.
So in the end, Manny approves of me taking Michigan State plus six. All right. Good stuff there.
Go ahead.
And follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro and catch him twice a week here, Tuesdays and Fridays, with the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes Report. Manny, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thank you, bro. I'm gonna keep growing this beard out until Miami actually shows up. I'm waiting for that to happen. That's going to be my signal.
I like the mic, too, by the way. Nice job by you.
Appreciate it, brother.
Sounds awesome. There you go. Good job. All right, Manny. Catch you next week, brother. Be good.
See ya.
There you go. It is Manny Navarro and the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes Report.